Going to read from Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, down to the end of chapter 4. We've been tracing our way through this short book that tells the story of the prophet Jonah. Extraordinary story. And each week, and I think the last eight occasions when I've spoken from Jonah, each week, what we've tried to do as we've read a passage or a few verses is reflect upon them and seek to apply them to our own lives to see what God, the living God, has to say to us today through this story. So Jonah chapter 3, reading from verse 10, this is on page 929, be a different prophet if it was 939. Page 929, chapter 3, verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life. It's better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about that plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant. Though you didn't tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from the left, and also many animals?" Amen. Jonah finishes at what we might think is a rather strange point. God simply saying, in Nineveh there are these 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many animals. And that's how the book ends. So today, reflecting on Jonah under the title, God Compassionate to All. God Compassionate to All. And I'm going to begin by reflecting on the last few weeks as we have read our way slowly through this book and sought to understand what is it that God might be encouraging us with. And right at the beginning of our reflections, we met Jonah. And I've said here, Jonah the dove prophet. Now, the name Jonah, you may remember, means dove. All of our names, I guess, have meaning. Sometimes we name our children because of their meaning. Sarah and I named our children because the names have meaning. Zoe means life. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life, life in all its fullness." And that's the Greek word zoe. So we named our first child Life. And then we named our second child, We didn't realize how appropriate it was going to be, but we named our second child Isaac, because Isaac means laughter. So we would have life and laughter. Because you remember when God said to Abraham and Sarah, I'm going to give you a son, a gift from me, in your old age, and Sarah laughed. I think God was laughing as well at their unbelief that he could do such an extraordinary thing. And so we named our children. The children have names that have meanings, and that may be true for you. Well, Jonah has a name that means something. It means dove. And what do we know from the Bible as we try and figure out how does that apply to us today? Well, we reflect on the Bible and say, okay, where else is a dove to be found in the Bible, in the pages of this book that we read every day? And of course, the dove means for us peace. That's the symbol that is used in the Bible to denote peace, the dove of peace. And so we have this extraordinary thought that perhaps Jonah, named the dove prophet, his whole purpose in being a prophet, his whole purpose in going to people, either his own people or foreigners, to speak to them about God and whatever the message is that he's given, maybe the whole point is that Jonah speaks words ultimately of peace. Now, we also meet the dove in the Bible in the story of Noah. After the story of the great flood, when Noah has taken the animals on the ark and they're floating on the ark for days and days and days. And in order for Noah to find out if the flood has subsided, he sends out a raven. That comes back. The flood hasn't gone down enough yet. And he sends out a dove. And the dove brings back part of a plant, indicating the water is subsiding. And it may be that that dove in the story of Noah was all about a second chance. Yeah? A second chance for humanity to begin again with God, to seek to follow God. And so it may be that Jonah, the dove prophet, it may be that he goes to speak, and whatever words he says, God's intention that Jonah will bring peace to the people he speaks to. But it may also be that the whole point of Jonah prophesying, bringing a message from God to people, is to say, God is giving you a second chance. That's the point. Now, the way Jonah, the story of Jonah, is set up at the beginning, we might think, no, that can't be true, because Jonah's message is that of destruction. Nineveh is going to be destroyed, we're told. But maybe the whole point of Jonah's message is to say to the people, you can have peace. You can have a second chance. And maybe that's God's word to us. So Jonah is this dove prophet, the one who brings peace, or the one who brings and offers a second chance. But we need to say as well that Jonah is complex. He's not straightforward. As a character, you know, he's not a, you know, ladybird book kind of prophet. This is what a prophet does. He's a complex character, as we discover. Because we then discover that Jonah is the one who runs from God's face. Not simply from God, but he runs from God's face. And you'll remember how we reflected that, you know, when we look in somebody's face, we see truly see them. You know, as parents, we sometimes say to our children, look at me. And they want to look everywhere but at you. Because you know that to look at you, you have their attention. And you see the person. And when you look at somebody else, perhaps to say something serious or romantic or whatever it is, you look at their face. And we're told that Jonah ran from God's face. He didn't want to look into God's face. Now, we discover later on, and we read it just in our reading just a moment ago, that Jonah is running from God's character. A character Jonah knows is gracious. Jonah knows that God is slow to anger. Jonah knows that God is abounding in love. Jonah knows that the chances are God is going to relent from sending calamity upon Nineveh. Jonah knows this. And so he goes, nope, I'm not going to look at you. He hides himself from God's face because he doesn't want to see who God truly is. Because he knows, as we know, to look into God's face is to see who he truly is. And that is a transforming event for us. And so Jonah, he runs from God's face because he wants to run from God's character and what God might do because of who God is. That God may not destroy the Ninevites. And that's what Jonah wants. He wants the Ninevites destroyed. So he runs. But we also reflected that Jonah was running from himself. Now, we know you can't run from yourself. But that's what many of us spend our entire life doing. Running from ourselves. Not wanting to accept, this is who I am. This is who God has made me to be. And who is Jonah? Well, Jonah's the dove prophet. Jonah is the prophet who, even if he has a message of destruction for Nineveh, he's the one who brings peace and the offer of a second chance. This is who Jonah is. And I've reflected before that so often with the prophets, God doesn't simply call somebody, Jonah, and say to them, okay, guy, I'm picking you out, go and speak these words, and then go back to your life. When God calls somebody to be a prophet, to speak the word of God, often God calls them to be the word of God. Now, do we get that? So Jonah is not just somebody who's going to speak words. He's going to be the prophecy. Now, you may not get that, but some of you it may resonate with, that when God places his call upon us, it's not to just to do something. God places his call upon us so that we will be someone. We will be someone. And the struggle for many of us as we follow Jesus is accepting who God has made us to be. Because we've got so many hang-ups and so many other theories about what God should be like or what we should be like or whether our craving after status or money or all sorts of other things. But it's all within us. God makes us someone. And Jonah, you know, I guess there's a sense in which Jonah's quite happy to go to Nineveh and say, God's going to destroy you. That's easy. But Jonah knows that if he goes as God's prophet, he goes as a prophet of peace and as a prophet who brings the second chance. And he can't avoid that because that is who he is. And so Jonah is running not simply from God, but he's running from himself. And that's why he is in agony. In the opening chapter, he's in agony because he can't escape from himself. And this, remember, he goes onto a boat and the boat goes out to sea and great storm is sent by God. And the storm is a strange storm which basically stops the ship right where it is. They can't go anywhere. The sailors are frightened and they start throwing everything overboard. And they cry out to all their gods because they want to know. And Jonah, not only has he run away from God's face, he's running away from himself. And we're told he goes down into the depths of the boat and he goes to sleep. I'm not taking any notice. I'm asleep. How many times have we heard that? You know, I'm asleep. I can't hear, can't see you. That's what Jonah's doing. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to be who God has called him to be. And yet, for Jonah, his life will be found when he is who God has called him to be. The fullness of his life will be there. And then we discover Jonah is saved by God. We know the story about how the sailors, as a last-ditch attempt to save their ship, you know, they say to Jonah, come on, what's going on? And Jonah says, throw me overboard. It's me, I'm the problem. But still, he doesn't want to face his responsibility. So he says, throw me overboard, I'll die. You know, and that way I will get away from myself. And I'll get away from God. And the sailors don't want to do that. Because, strangely, they don't worship the living God. But they have more sense of what is right and wrong than Jonah does. And so Jonah is finally thrown overboard. And we're told at the end of chapter 1 that the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And Jonah is saved. The fish eventually spits out Jonah onto dry land. And the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. Okay, now go and be who you are. Go to Nineveh. Why does God save Jonah? We could say, well, God saved Jonah because Jonah is simply an instrument. What God wants to do is save Nineveh. And so Jonah can run away. Well, God will keep saving Jonah because Jonah is simply the means to God's end. The instrument God is going to use to do this thing of speaking to the Ninevites. But if that was true for Jonah, then we have to accept that it's true for us, that we are just God's means to an end, that we are just instruments, that we don't really matter in God's process, that God has something else going on, he's just using us to do something, and that's it. And we know that's not true. We know that God loves each one of us and has gifted us and called us to be who God has called us to be. Because he values who we are and he honours who we are. And he wants us to love ourselves and to honour ourselves and to be everything that we can be. And that was true for Jonah. Jonah wasn't simply an instrument, somebody God could use to achieve a particular end. God saves Jonah. Yes, because he had a message. But God saves Jonah so that Jonah can be who Jonah truly is. And here, God is giving Jonah the second chance, even though that's who Jonah is, the one who brings the second chance. Saying, because Jonah, in being who he truly is, he will experience fullness of life. He'll discover himself. He will discover who God made him to be. And so Jonah, he is saved to be who he truly is. Who is he? He's a prophet who brings words of peace. He's a prophet who brings the offer of a second chance. And the thing about Jonah, as we read through this story, is in fact, when Jonah does what he is called to do, and when Jonah is who Jonah is called to be, he's incredibly effective. Do we notice that about the story? Jonah is incredibly effective. He is the one you would want, you know, if you had an evangelistic campaign. You'd want Jonah to speak. Why do I say that? Well, he goes to Nineveh, and what happens? You know, the entire city repents. All Jonah speaks is 8 words. 40 more days and you'll be destroyed. And the response, Billy Graham would love it, you know. 120,000 people repent. They stop what they're doing, but they stop, we're told, they stop their evil ways and their violence. What an extraordinarily effective prophet. When Jonah is who God has called him to be, it's not just about his words, it's about who he is. He's effective. And Jonah will find in that moment tremendous fulfillment. he would have experienced God's compassion flowing through him. And so God saves Jonah. Yes, for the Ninevites, but God saves Jonah for Jonah. Because he says, come on, Jonah. I'll give you a second chance. And that is so true for you and for me. God saves us. You know, how many times have you been saved? You know, we can say we've been saved once, you know, in Jesus. I get that. You know. But how many times have we been saved? Probably many times. Many times, you know, you've heard God speaking to you, or you've read the Bible and something's jumped out at you and turned your life around, or somebody said something to you, or just a thought has struck you and you've realized God has spoken into your life, and it's like you've been given another chance. You've been given another chance. God has been saving you and saving you and saving you time after time after time. And that is true for us as it was for Jonah. God saves us, not just because of what we can do, because God has saved you and me. Because when he creates us, he says, not just you're good, but you're very good. And he wants you to know that. And we need to live into that reality. So God will keep saving us, keep turning us, keep encouraging us, so that we might eventually, sometimes we have to give up fighting and just relax into who God has made us to be. And just let God be God in us. And to Jonah's surprise, he is effective. And there is fulfillment there. And God's compassion clearly flows through him to the Ninevites. And so we've reflected on Jonah. And that's where we've been in this story. And then we have God on his own terms. And that's important, that we understand God will be God on his own terms and not on ours. You see, Jonah is angry. Jonah's angry about Nineveh's repentance. Jonah's angry about God's compassion. The beginning of our reading today, when God saw what they did, that's the Ninevites, how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and didn't bring on them the destruction he had threatened. And verse 1 of chapter 4, but to Jonah this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. And if you were here last week, you'll have heard me say that the literal Hebrew translation is something like, this was evil to Jonah, a great evil. This was evil to Jonah, a great evil. And those are very powerful words. You see, Jonah has seen God forgive. Jonah has seen God forgive Jonah's enemies. And to Jonah, do you remember I said he's a complex character? To Jonah, what God did was evil, a great evil. Isn't that extraordinary? Here is this prophet who goes, and he is who he is to the Ninevites, and God flows through him, and 120,000 people repent. But even so, in the complexity of Jonah's character, he goes, I didn't want that. Jonah doesn't want God to be God on his own terms, on God's own terms. Jonah wants God to be God on Jonah's terms. You can be compassionate and kind, but not to my enemies. You can forgive, but not the people I don't want you to forgive. And of course, we see in this particular passage something about narcissism. This is all about, you know, God can be God on my terms. It's all about me. You know that song we sing? It's all about you, Jesus. You know, and sometimes I thought, no, what we really mean is, it's all about me. That's the striking reality, is so often we live our lives saying, God, you can be God on your terms? No, on my terms. And that's what Jonah is struggling with. is that God is saying, I'll do it my way. And the big struggle that Jonah finds is that God is compassionate to all. God is compassionate to all. God being God on his own terms. When God is compassionate to all, there is repentance and there is transformation. In chapter 4 that we read and verse 5, we're told that Jonah had gone out and he'd sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, we're told, sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. So even though 120,000 people have repented and they are fasting, they've stopped everything that they're doing. They're expecting God to respond with kindness and forgiveness. Jonah clearly has seen what they've done. But even so, he goes up just outside the city and he waits. And it's as if Jonah's waiting for the fireball from heaven to destroy Nineveh. That's what he's waiting for. You can feel him rubbing his hands together. Front row seats for this destruction. And he sits there and the Lord provides a leafy plant, a vine, or it's difficult to know exactly what kind of plant God provides. And it grew up over Jonah and gave lots of shade for his head to ease his discomfort in the heat. And of course, Jonah, it said, is really happy about this plant. And I think there's a sense in that of, it's all about me. Oh yeah, this plant is grown just for me. You know, thank you. This is great. It's all about me. And then we're told at dawn the next day, God provides a worm which chews the plant, so the plant withers. And then the sun rose. And then we're told God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head. And just looking at this scorching east wind, I can't remember the name of it now. Something like Khamzin wind or something like that. I can't remember exactly. But in the Arabic, they are, Arabs are used to this wind that only comes every so often. And it's a very hot wind and it's a very dry wind. And it engulfs you, and dust comes all around you, such that you have to stop. And the expression here is that Jonah is wrapped around with this wind, with this scorching, dry, dusty wind. Those of you who've ever studied the Second World War and the battles in Egypt may have heard of an occasion where both the German and the British who were fighting had to cease in their hostilities because this wind swept up and they couldn't see one another, let alone see their enemy. And it's a dry, stifling wind. And what's happening here is that this wind is wrapping itself around Jonah, and there's a sense in which God is making Jonah stop. There's nothing Jonah can do. And that's the point of this wind that they're so familiar with in the Middle East. Is that when this wind happens, you stop. There's nothing you can do until it dies down. And that's what God does for Jonah. Stop. And I get the sense that God is saying, really, Jonah? Really? After everything I've done, my blessing of you, my saving of you, I'd rather be dead, says Jonah. Really? It's not about you, Jonah. God really is compassionate to all. And God says to Jonah, you know, the very thing you delighted in, this plant, it just grew up and died overnight. Should I not have compassion on this city? And this is the story of Jonah. It is a lesson to Jonah and a lesson to us about understanding God on his own terms. God will be God. He will be compassionate to whomever he wishes to be compassionate to. God will save, and he will save whomever he wishes to save. God will forgive, and he will forgive whomever he wants. And there are no constrictions or restrictions for God. He will love, and he will be compassionate, and he will be gracious and kind and merciful because he wants to be, because that is who he is. And we cannot contain God, and we cannot tell God to be this way or that way to this person or that person. God is compassionate to all. And may we know the blessing of God's compassion on us as we give ourselves afresh to serve him. Let's pray together. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Father, thank you that you are God, and you will be God on your own terms, and you will be compassionate, kind and merciful, and gracious and slow to anger. And Father, help us in whatever way we can just take another step, another few steps towards accepting that you are who you are and you are good. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit, as we prayed at the beginning of our service. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that we might know something more of your life, more of your compassion and kindness in us, that we might again say yes to you and to your way in us. We pray in the name of Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.